just to make the point that I'm preaching this the day after Sunday because the system fell down on Sunday yesterday morning. The readings actually are from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and from John chapter 16, between verses 5 and 15. So this is our Pentecost party. I don't know if you think of it that way, but thank you for wearing your red and looking good out there in the congregation. So thinking of parties, though, I guess we can sometimes cast our minds back to childhood days and the way we used to celebrate our birthdays when we were young. Those of us a little older now, hearing or thinking about our youngest nine-year-old grandchild, the sort of parties they have these days, very different from the simple ways we used to sit around a table with a lovely cake and icing and candles and nice food, and that was about it. But anyway, things change. Well, today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, which is a day for celebration, surely just as important as Christmas and Good Friday and Easter. And then as we read the beginning of Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. These are the followers of Jesus. And of course, we're together in one place as we celebrate that first special and very significant day in the life of the church. In fact, it was the birthday of the church. And so we might quite appropriately sing happy birthday to ourselves today as the family of St. Paul's, and of course to the Christian church worldwide. Anyway, all this prompts my question for this morning. As a church, do we see ourselves as a bus or a party? What do I mean? Well, think of a bus trip into Christchurch we might make. You know, it's like travelling in a bus, probably not as bad as travelling into London on the Underground, but all the same, there are similarities. There we are, sitting on our seat, perhaps with our masks on, possibly looking out the window, or maybe straight just ahead of us. Alongside us, there might be a student checking her book for a coming test, or the young adult with earphones on, and of course with the mobile phone as well, or a senior citizen, probably half asleep. Anyway, doing this, of course, we're not often very willing to be looking at somebody else in the eye. We're thrown together with a common concern to get into the city for whatever we're going for, just enduring the journey. Whereas at a party, in contrast to a bus, people are there to enjoy themselves. We look people in the eye, we make connections as part of the fun. We laugh, we talk, we listen, we share something of our lives together. So buses and parties are two very different environments. How do we think the church fits into all of this? If we come to church mainly to get from earth to heaven, as it were, then there's a sense in which we're on a bus. We're just very focused on one thing and we want to get there. But in the process, of course, we're in danger of missing out on building relationships. But if we believe the church is more like a party, then our intention is surely to share our common relationship, not only with Jesus as Saviour and Lord, but also to grow relationships with our Christian brothers and sisters. Hopefully this is one reason at least you've come to church this morning, to build relationships with those we know and those we don't know perhaps. We're all called to do this in a time when, as a recent media report I found commented that we're so much part of an increasingly meaningless and meanness and negative community. Things are so negative, you look at the news day by day. So I've titled this morning's sermon, Three One Another's. And the book of Acts has at least three of those. In fact, there are more that I believe are important for our church life together. First one, honour one another. In Romans chapter 12, honour one another above yourselves. Honour one another. Build up the other person is another way of putting it. I read this story recently, and it is a story, but it quite impressed me, about two women. It could have been a couple of men too. I'll call them Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Brown. Mrs. Smith was being visited by the vicar one day, and during their conversation she told him that she and her close friends had become very annoyed with Mrs. Brown and her group. In church, the two groups sat on different sides of the aisle and would sometimes glare at each other. Things were very tense between the groups. So the vicar thought, well, I must go and do a bit of visiting. And so he went and he visited Mrs. Smith. Tell me, he said, what would be one thing you actually appreciate about Mrs. Brown? Mrs. Smith replied, well, she does make a marvellous fruitcake, I'd have to say. Later in the week, the vicar thought, well, I better also visit Mrs. Brown, find out how she sees this tense situation. Well, she soon was giving him an awful earful for probably 10 minutes or more. Okay, said the vicar, I've heard all of that. But though, can you tell me one thing you appreciate about Mrs. Smith? Well, she said, I guess I'd have to admit that she's got a wonderful singing voice. That's great, the vicar said. But do you know what she said about you? Mrs. Brown said, I don't know if I really want to hear that. Well, the vicar said, Mrs. Smith said you really make a marvellous fruitcake. Is that so? Let me jump ahead a few weeks. With each one hearing that their so-called enemy found something significant to admire about the other, there began a huge thawing in their relationship. You see, however hard it was for them, they both managed to honour the other in at least one way. Something positive to say, which helped to break the ice and to warm up the relationship. I believe amazing things can happen when we honour one another, when we make an effort to move past the negatives and work hard to affirm the positives. We need to honour, we need to value one another, even though, of course, we won't always agree with one another. Let's see if we can make some opportunities to do this from here on. There are always plenty of folk who deserve to be honoured in one way, the work they do, the people they are, or whatever. Let's make an effort. Secondly, encourage one another. These words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, which isn't so very different from honouring one another. I remember a few years ago, after I'd retired from full-time ministry, I did an interregnum in a city church for about 10 months. And the way the congregation encouraged me in that role was just so heartening. Going back after being out of full-time ministry, it was a bit of a challenge, and I was a bit apprehensive. But these people in this parish were so warm and welcoming and appreciative. It made all the difference to me. So I trust you and I can do the same for one another here or wherever we are, because encouragement can build us up. It can give us strength to hang in when the going is tough. It can help us to realise we're doing something worthwhile we may not have realised was being appreciated for being worthwhile. And it might just amount to a one-to-one word, very brief and very to the point, or a little note or a card to thank somebody, or a quick phone call. And, of course, that friendly smile, it can make such a difference. Whereas our human nature can so easily be guilty of the opposite, to be negative about things, to grumble, to complain, to criticise, but it's somebody or something that's going on. It reminds me in the Old Testament of Moses and God's people there. Remember, they'd been in slavery in Egypt. They'd seen God's hand, though, in their release from slavery, in the parting of the Red Sea waters, and in the provision of manna and water. But so soon they were grumbling in the desert, wishing they were back in Egypt. Dear, oh dear. It reminds me of that Arab proverb you may have heard. I complained because I had no shoes until I met a person who had no feet. The New Testament gives a high priority to encouragement. In fact, encourager, the word, is one of the names given to the Holy Spirit, a word used about 25 times in the book of Acts alone. And there's Barnabas, the son of encouragement, another way he was described, a great example of encouragement in action. God encourages us so we can encourage others. It builds up the life of a congregation, and don't we need that? Let's see what we can do this coming week to encourage somebody else. No one can ever get too much encouragement. And my third, one another. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you, we read in Romans chapter 15. Let's never forget the wonderful grace of God that enables him to accept you and me despite all our sin, all our faults and failings, all the ways we've gone our own way. He continues to love us and always will. Those amazing words from Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So if by faith we can accept that Jesus has accepted us through the forgiveness of our sin, who are we to not also accept others, yes, with all their shortcomings and annoyances too? Now, of course, Jesus doesn't approve of sin. It's not a matter of that, and nor should we. But remember, God, hating the sin, still loves the sinner, and that should be so reflected in our lives. His grace is there for others as well as for us, and nothing you or I can do will ever stop God loving us. Let's remember that when we look at one another, as we relate to others. For healthy relationships in the life of a church, we need a good dollop of acceptance. So the three one another's: accept one another, honour one another, encourage one another. And of course there are others the same. Forgive one another, love one another. I'm not going into all of those today, but I'm sure you understand them too. But all these are not easy to put into practice. But in being a party group rather than a bus group, God has given us this challenge. As one author has put it, living above with the saints we love, that will be glory. Living below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. But Pentecost reminds us, as it did those early followers, that the coming of the Holy Spirit was God's gift to the church, so that we have the means, we have the help to live and serve and worship together beyond what we naturally are capable of doing. And so we need to keep on praying together and to keep asking the Holy Spirit to grow the fruit of the Spirit more and more in our own life, as well as amongst us as a group in his family at the church. And then the world outside might take note that being different for the sake of Jesus, showing these qualities and so forth, is not a bore or a negative thing, but rather a wonderful joy and a privilege, living life for the Lord and for one another. The world at its worst needs the church at its best. The world at its worst needs you and me at our best. As I close, I just invite you to think and pray silently. What does this mean for you and me as we begin a new week? And we thank God for the gift today of his helping Holy Spirit. Amen.